Turn your Bible with me to chapter 6 of Proverbs. Chapter 6 of Proverbs. How many of you made the New Year's resolution? You made the resolution. And how many of you have already broken? Here's one not many people think about, let alone Christians. I think that this is a very important one. Not being lazy this year. Not being lazy this year. But I think that it's very important for all of us to make this as this year's new resolution. Allow me to elaborate a little. We constantly make decisions ever since we are born. Some of the major, some of the minor. Major such as getting a right job, moving to the right place, marrying to that right perfect person, and I hope you still think that. Nod your head fast, okay? Your spouse is sitting next to you. And some of the minor decisions that we don't even think about consciously. When we break the New Year's resolution, we are making a decision not to keep that. Don't think that, well, I just broke it. No, you made a decision to break New Year's resolution. I cannot say that what you did is correct or not correct, because some of them may not be an issue. As long as you don't hurt yourself, harmful to yourself, harmful to others, or against the Word of God, it's a matter of yes or no. Generally, about 5 times a week, I choose to get up. I need to get up early. I mean, early in the morning, so I can study the Word of God. And as the weather is getting cooler, colder, I live with an Eskimo. Some of you guys know that. Our room temperature is average 62. I'm not joking. Window is wide open. The ceiling fan is going at full speed. Now my body's trained that I kind of like that. Anyway, but in my brain, it's cold out there. And when that ungodly, demonic, annoying alarm clock goes off, immediately I come up with about 6 excuses why I should not have to get up. And then I lay there and say, okay, 5 more minutes. And then the Lord speaks to my heart. You are lazy, get up. Then I roll out of bed reluctantly. It's not because I want to, because I have to. I get up. See, Bible tells us about laziness clearly. Sometimes brutally. I believe that the Lord wants us, all of us, to take heed so that we don't waste His precious time on our watch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be the ones who waste your time while we are on this earth. We want to be your faithful servants, bringing honor and praise and glory through our lives. Teach us this morning what we must learn that we can implement throughout this year. Please forgive us for our sins, especially the one who speak, for his sins are many. And praying for the President Obama, that he may receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, and that he may turn to you and receive the truth, that he may do what is right in your sight and do the godly things. Also praying for the troops around the world, especially one in harm's way, you're willing, you bring them back to their families soon. And we are praying for the law enforcement personnel, sheriff department deputies, sorry, the police department police officers and border patrol agent and all the other law enforcement agents. And praying for the firefighters around this community. We're asking you to watch over them and protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6 of chapter 6. Let's talk about the characteristics of lazy people. Characteristics of the lazy people. Verse 6. Go to the end, you sluggard. Consider whole ways and be wise. Verse 7. Which, and put number 1 there, please. Having no captain, overseer, or ruler. And put number 2, and provide her supplies in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand to sleep. So shall your poverty will come to you like a prowler, and you need like an armed man. I need to make this very clear to you before we go any further in this study. After hard day work, or long days and throughout the week, you and I need rest. Okay? Even though the Lord Himself did not need rest, He chose to rest at the end of the creation process. Especially like a driven person like me, I have to follow His suit because I have a tendency to going on and on, even though my body can handle it. There's a tremendous difference between being lazy and taking well-deserved rest after hard work. So don't feel bad. I have to tell myself, don't feel bad if I need rest. Here's 8 characteristics I find of the lazy people. First one, and we find them from the verse 7, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, the ant works. So the opposite would be the lazy people depend on others to give them directions because it is too much effort to be self-motivated for themselves. Lazy people are not self-motivated people. They don't care about anything other than their immediate comfort. Even that, they expect other people to take care of them. Isn't that true? Second characteristic of lazy people is, we find in verse 8, let's go back to verse 8. Provide her supplies in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. So lazy people fail to plan ahead. Lazy people do not plan for future. Christian sluggards will have a tendency to say, well, we are winging for Jesus' sake. No, you are not winging. You're just going on your impulse. They are impulsive, short-sighted, and compulsive wasters. There are the kinds of people who spend money on the things that is not necessary and that they don't have money what they need for. Then they expect other people to pick up the tab. Third characteristic of the lazy people is lazy people neglect to care for what they have. Proverbs 19:24. Let's go there. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Can you picture this man? His hand and around the cereal bowl, and he's just looking at it because it's too much effort for him to scoop it up and spoon with a spoon and shovel it into his mouth. Same difference. See, in a way, it's a kind of, I guess it's an exaggerated portion, but you can see that this kind of people, while you're driving around your neighborhood, some of the people's front yard and backyard is full of weeds because they don't care about what they already have. And they don't care about it, and their trash is piled up around the house. And some say, well, it's a desert landscape with all this weed. Yeah, right? Fourth characteristic of lazy people is a desire. They desire for things, but they do not work to earn it. Let's turn to the chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires, but has nothing. The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. It does not say the wealth of diligent is made rich. Did you notice that? It said the soul of rich person, the soul of diligent shall be made rich, because God bless him. Chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 25. Do you know some churches never hear this shuffling sound because they don't use the Bible? By the way, just for the, I got an email from one of the congregation who went to the East Coast. She sent the email to us and she said, I went to the one church and I took the Bible because of, as I've been doing in your church. And a man in front of me said, honey, we don't need Bible in here. In the church. I told her to get out of there. Verse 25, the desire of the lazy man kills her, for his hand, note that, his hand refused to labor. Refused to labor. Folks, God bless the diligent and hardworking people, but he condemns the lazy ones. I asked you on the line, I asked you to note that, the verse 25. Notice that this man choose. He make a decision to be slothful and lazy by refusing to work. From 1988 to 1990, my family went to, we were part of the Home Mission Church in downtown Tucson. And we led the homeless people ministry. We met some of the down and out people who experienced a series of horrible circumstances. They end up becoming homeless people and jobless. And especially with the current economy, that's understandable. However, the majority of people in the downtown Tucson, as well as many big cities, there are a lot of homeless people by their choice. By their choice. They just want the money from whomever so that they could go get another bottle of alcohol and do more illegal drugs. In many cases, they are the same kinds of people who would stand at the in median of the street intersection and have a cardboard that will work for food, but when you offer them real actual job, they say, how much? That's minimum wage. No thanks. They don't want to work. They just want free money. I chose not to give them. I would give them a job, but I choose not to give them money. In a way, we all fall into this category as well. We all want something great, but a lot of times, we don't want to put out effort. And you may say, what are you talking about? Since this is a new year, what is the majority of New Year resolution? Lose weight, getting slender, and buffed up, and all that stuff, right? That's why majority of the health club make money on first part of January or the last part of December, membership. And they sell more health equipment, exercise equipment in January than any other time of the year. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to get buffed up. But we break that resolution. We're all falling into, we're thinking that we can get the buff body, slender body, all these things, and losing weight. But we really don't put out effort. We desire for it, but we don't put out effort. If everybody opened up their garage door, around Green Valley and Sarita area, you drive around. Everybody opened up the garage door. What would you see most common thing? Exercise equipment. And what do they have? Usually stuff on the top. and or they put up the laundry on the top. It's the most expensive laundry dryer. Why? We desire something, but we do not make effort for it. Some people think that pastors get to have this holy package coming from heaven when they, as soon as they become a pastor. This package comes in from heaven with the return address, Jesus Christ. Here, Junho Kim. I open it up there, boom! There is the capability to memorize the entire Bible, or the gift of counseling, or whatever for the pastoral ministry. Not. I wish that it was that way. You know what do I do? Can I borrow that memory card? Scripture memory? I have this too. I have more than one. Usually I have several. I memorize this. I read this 10 times a day, 7 days a week, just like you. You guys have an advantage. This is your language, not mine. It takes extra effort for me. Sometimes it takes more than 1 week for me to memorize this. I don't have this Bible verse in my head. You can ask my wife. She hears me repeating same thing over and over and over. I make an effort to have the word in my heart. You do the same thing. Nobody memorizes verses, Bible, automatically. I even ask God, I honest goodness, I ask God stupid question, request, can you just put the entire Bible in my heart? Probably he looked at me and said, you're a moron. Fifth characteristic of lazy people. Lazy people often don't even put out enough effort to make the basic needs. Basic needs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, please. I don't know if God used the word moron. Probably not. But that's the impression I'm getting because of my request. I know it's a dumb thing to ask, but I ask. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we command you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Is that clear enough for you? If you don't work, guess what? You don't deserve to eat. What about the people who cannot work? There's a difference who will not work and cannot work. They're the scroll people who want the food and other good things, but they don't want to work. There are people who promise the idea, promote the idea, encourage others to join so they can continue this effort. What they really want is that they want your wealth put in the system so that they can redistribute. Have you ever heard that concept? And so they can give it out to the people who freely, they want free stuff. This is, in my opinion, one of the most unbiblical ways to live in the society. I'm not against the poverty. I'm not against the poor people. But I am against any system that enables people to be poor and enable them to be lazy. You with me? By the way, the people who want this system, people who are organizing this system, they don't want their wealth to be included in there. Did you notice that? Obama administration and his cohort, the Congress and Senate, wants to take your money, high tax, and redistribute them to the people who choose not to work and they want a free hands out. Soviet Union and Eastern Europe bloc did that since the 1940s. What happened to them? They are bankrupt. Now, the Western Europe and America wants to follow their suit. Just brilliant, don't you think? I guess it takes Harvard graduate to come up with this stupid idea. Sixth characteristic is lazy people always make an excuse. That is lame excuses. And why? They cannot work. they should say they don't want to work. Proverbs chapter 22, please. Proverbs 22. Verse 13. Some of you may think that, well, don't you think that you're a little harsh for toward the president? No, I'm not. You really don't want to hear what I'm thinking. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the street. Go to verse chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of a lazy man, by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And goes on. Folks, lazy people always come up with excuse why they cannot work. In reality, they don't want to work. Seventh characteristic of lazy people is they always think that they are smarter than and when even though they are not. Chapter 26. Verse 16. A lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. They think that no one knows that what they're doing. Getting free money without honest work. They don't know that their deception will be exposed someday, most inconvenient time. Eighth characteristic of lazy people is they can easily destroy the things that took others a long time to make. Lazy people can easily destroy the things that took others a long time to make. Chapter 18, please. Chapter 18, verse 9. He who is a slothful, we don't use this word that often anymore. He who is a slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Is that clear? How many of you do you know the lazy person at work? How many? Don't raise your hand. I'm sure everybody knows. But let me ask you this. What do they think about you? Do they think that you are good at two shoes because you work so hard? Or do they think that you are not a lazy person? Before we go to that question, let's look at the consequences of laziness. Number one, laziness brings deterioration. Laziness brings deterioration. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, please. Chapter 10, verse 18. Because of laziness, the building decayed, and through idleness of the hand, the house leaks. Have you been into somebody's home? The crud is all over. Their house, the faucet is still leaking constantly. And you've seen that a few months ago, and they still haven't fixed it. Why? Is it because of lack of time, or is it because of lack of desire? Show me a street gang member who is not lazy. Show me one street gang member who is not lazy. They rather steal, rob, deal illegal drugs, and murder others to get what they want, rather than getting things with their hard-earned money. The more lazy people we have, the more street gang members you will have, which brings more crimes. In my opinion, listen, this is the connected. In my opinion, the main problem with the teenagers in America is not they don't have things to occupy them. They have enough things to occupy them. But they are not challenged enough academically, intellectually, spiritually. They are not challenged enough. So they have too much time. Liberal educators lower their standard to match the lower grade student. So everybody can pass. What's their idea? They said, well, we have to be concerned about their self-esteem. rather than bring them to the higher standard, they just simply lower the grade. That's happening in America, in government as well. That's the exact meaning of the redistribution system that Obama wants. Here's hardworking people. You're working hard, but here's the people who don't have anything because they choose not to work. Take out the money with a tax and give it to them. Why should they work hard? Why should they work hard? Why should they work, get a job? All of a sudden, value of job, all of a sudden, value of honest, good work goes down the hill. That's a good way to destroy the country. That's what happened to our next generation. Laziness brings deterioration. Second consequence is laziness brings poverty. Laziness brings poverty. Chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. I know I'm not talking about popular subject, but it's not like I'm concerned about it. Verse 15. Laziness casts one into deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. An idle person will suffer hunger. The Bible, no I, not saying that the person with the poverty is lazy. As I said before, serious bad circumstances can happen and they lose a job, they can be poor. I'm not against it. Been there. But the lazy people bring poverty into his or her life spiritually and physically. You can have all the money in the world and you're still lazy and you're spiritually bankrupt. So let me ask you this question. Are you spiritually lazy? Are you spiritually lazy? Go to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25. And some of you are thinking, I don't like the tone of your voice, the way you're going. Chapter 25, verse 14, I'm sorry. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Move down to verse 20, please. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, the Lord, you delivered to me the 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Move down to verse 24, please. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be the hard man, reaping where you have not sown and the gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited this money, my money, with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received it back with my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Folks, the third servant was unfaithful, and therefore he was not rewarded. Because this man was lazy, and as his master declared, he intentionally, note that, he intentionally chose not to be successful. We all have been given at least one talent or more, one gift or more from our God. And some of you might say, not me, I don't have any gift, spiritual gift, even though you do. And it's, I don't know, I cannot do anything. Let me ask you this. Can you change a diaper? I think just about any one of us can change a diaper. I've seen one young lady who was changing diaper. She had a thing all over her hands and arms. I thought, wow, you're talented. I hope you know how to change a diaper before you get to have your own kid. Anyway, if you know how to change a diaper, you can help in the nursery. You know how to play with the children? You like children? Mrs. Hamby will be happy to take you. Can you carry heavy stuff? You can be a part of movers and shakers. Can you listen? You have 2 years, and you can listen, right? Can you visit the nursing homes and those lonely people? They will talk to you until your ears fall off your head. It's a great blessing to them. Listen, help the people who set up and tear down. That's a great blessing, and you will get blessed. You can do so much for the Lord, and literally, heaven is the limit. Literally, heaven is the limit. The problem is that majority of Christians have a tendency to bury the talent like the third servant here. And Jesus telling us that we will be a given account for which has been entrusted to us. Entrusted to us. If you are the one who doesn't think that you haven't given much, you are the one who need to be especially careful that you don't bury that which you do have. You understand me? Instead of coming up with an excuse and reasons why you cannot serve God and His church, I'm asking you to ask yourself if there's any way, however, any possible ways you can serve Him. The question should be redirected. Instead of, well, I cannot serve God because this reason. I said this before. If you have a physical problem, look at Jerry Hamby, look at Diane, look at C.J. Daniels. They are blind. One has MS, one has polio. Can you top that? But they are still serving. They are diligent servants of God. Some says, I don't know what kind of gift I have from the Lord. Well, number one, you start to pray. You pray to God, ask Him. You know, I have a truck. It's so much easier. Even though I have an automatic steering wheel thing, I don't know how it works, but when I turn, it goes, okay? So it's so much easier if I let go of brake, push the gas pedal, and I start to turn. What do you know? I can turn one-ton truck. But if I stand on the brake and try to turn that thing, it's hard. Do you know where I'm getting with this? If you start to serve God, whatever the capacity, here or wherever, God will drag you to the place where He wants you to go. Are you with me? Is there anybody who cannot serve God? Probably nobody will raise your hand by now. Let's look at the God's inspection and rewarding system. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know some pastors don't like to say this kind of thing. Well, I don't want to push them. I don't have a problem. Now, if anyone, verse 12 of chapter 3, Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, that is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, and of what sort of it is. If anyone's work which he has built is on it endures, he will receive a reward. Apostle Paul here explains why it is so important to maintain high quality control on the building materials, because every believer's work will be inspected by God, by all-knowing God's eyes. At the judgment seat of Christ, stop there. This is different than the judgment seat of God. Do you know the difference? Judgment seat of Christ is for rewarding the believers. Judgment seat of God is for the unbelievers to judge them and throw them into the lake of fire according to their ungodly work. And God will reward individual people, believers of Jesus Christ individually. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There it is. And each one may receive the things done in the body. That is Jesus, Church of Jesus Christ. According to what he has done, whether good or bad. As I said before, the purpose of the inspection isn't to decide whose work has earned salvation. Nobody earns salvation. It's a gift of God. Right? Is salvation is sealed the moment we receive Jesus into our heart as a Savior and Lord. The fire we're talking about here is strictly determined the reward we will receive. It's very important for us to understand and remember this, folks. God sees the heart of man. You all agree? God sees the hearts of man. He knows the motive of what he or she does in the name of God. It might be godly in appearance. It might smell good, it look good, has all the right bells and sound of godly things. If the motive is selfish, the work will be burned, and the person who did will not receive the reward in heaven. Though he will enter into heaven through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Do you understand? Even if your reward would not be there because all of your work is selfish and for your own glory, but you will still enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, if you are born again Christian, whether you work for God for the rest of your life or not, you will enter the kingdom of God. Then I have this question again. How would you like to stand in front of God who died for you, who gave everything for you, and stand there? Why did you not serve me? Why did you not serve my body? Would you like to do that? Or would you like to come up with some lame excuse? I don't. I want to tell him, I lived for you. I walked for you. I brought glory to you. Not every moment. I hope the most of my life. So, at the end of the inspection, I want him to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my reward. Not the jewel, not the crown. Him saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's make two applications. Number one, don't be lazy spiritually this year. No, sit on your spiritual hands and take a spiritual food all the time from the church services and become a spiritual pew potatoes. Get it? So exercise your spiritual body, pump your spiritual muscles by serving the Lord and His church. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I know some of you guys really plan to do the workout and you're going to keep it up. By all means, let me give you this. For bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of what which is to come. There's something far more important than daily exercise, pumping iron, and become slender and losing weight. Serving God. Honoring Him. Second application. Don't expect others to do your part. Don't expect others to do your part. You do yours as well as others. Huh? Yeah. Do others too. That is the heart of a servant, and it pleases the Father in heaven. Okay? So this year, let's not be lazy. Stop. Can I have that memory card again, please? Sorry. After this, you can really keep it, okay? Do you know how long it takes? I measured the time. How long it takes to read this 10 times? Guess. How long? Less than 5 minutes. Honest goodness, less than 5 minutes. Do you have a time of... I know you're busy. You're really, really, really busy. 24 hours. But can you spare 5 minutes to put the word in your heart? Can you... One more. No extra charge. Honest. I will give you backsliding proof method. You with me? If you do this, you never backslide. Spend 15 minutes, hear from Him through the Word. 15 minutes a day, every day, no skipping day, through the Word. 15 minutes, you talk to Him through your prayer. Make your prayer known. 15 minutes, okay, 15 minutes to talk about Jesus to other people. You do this every day, you'll never backslide. Because you'll hear from Him, you'll talk to Him, you will talk about Jesus Christ to others. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Let us not grow weary doing good things. Let us not be lazy this year. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.